You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Too Old of Hell Radio Show. It's your host, Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got a good buddy of mine. You might know him as Brunoside.
Good morning, Joe. What's up?
I just, right now, have had my first sip of a sparkling water in 4 days, and I gotta say, it's so good. It is so good.
Just your first water in 4 days? Were you lost on an island or something?
Well, I got my wisdom teeth pulled out the other day. So shit. They're like, you can't... Okay, number one, you can't smoke. Number two, no. You can't drink. Number three, you can't eat really anything except for, like, snack pack and broth. And number four, you can't have sparkling water because the carbonation's bad for you. You also can't work out either because you're on narcotics. So you can't do anything good.
You're like a depressed loser for a week. You're just in pain and on drugs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's no good. I got to tell you, this whole getting your wisdom teeth out thing, I don't recommend it. I think it's for the birds, to be honest with you.
It's for the birds, bro. Now, what I want to... This is a question I have for everybody who gets their wisdom teeth pulled out, because I actually just hung out with a friend of mine, also named Joe, last night, who had his wisdom teeth pulled out like a couple days prior to hanging out. He was at the point where he could drink, but he definitely could still not smoke. And a question I ask everyone who gets their wisdom teeth pulled is, how was the... anesthetic sort of process? Was there any, were you knocked out completely? Were you put on laughing gas? What happened?
So, like, they gave me the option. They're like, for $30, we'll give you nitrous oxide, or for $180, we'll give you a pill that will get you insanely high. And, you know, I like getting insanely high, but, $180 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially if you're already paying them for the pleasure of pulling that shit out. So what they did was they just put the local anesthetic, you know, those shots of stuff in your gums, and put the nitrous helmet on me. I gotta say, I didn't feel anything from the nitrous at all.
Here's what happened to me. I just got the local anesthetic, the Novocaine. Like, if you're getting a tooth drilled, that's it. That's all they gave me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was in, like, a fucking, I don't know, like, South American back alleyway getting bones ripped out of my face, like some sort of, I don't know, it was like a Civil War vet moment or some shit. I'm just screaming while this guy has me in a headlock, fucking yanking bones out of my face.
Yeah, my man was sweating like doing this thing. It was not an easy process.
No, it was the most horrible experience of my life. And like, yeah, I was amazed to hear that most people had more than Novocaine. I was like, really?
I guess,
as I'm bleeding profusely from the jawline.
I guess, I don't know, maybe I should have asked him to turn up the concentration on the nitrous or something, because I didn't feel anything from that. I feel like I could have done it with just the Novocaine. I mean, it was miserable, but, you know, it's that way either way. Especially fucked up when you start to hear, like, the ligaments crack inside your head. Like, don't like it. I don't like it at all.
While it was happening to me, I remembered that there was... I read some random, I don't know if it was from a survival book or what, where there's like some marine or soldier technique that while you're getting tortured, just like pinch your leg or something so that you can focus on the pain of the pinch as opposed to the pain of the torture. So during this fucking process, I start pinching my thigh like for dear life. And the dentist was like, why are you pinching your thigh? And I'm like, because you know what I'm doing. Apparently you've been doing this enough. You must have seen a marine or two trying to get through this shit.
I like that he's just like rubbing it in. Like, I know what you're doing here, but I'm going to go ahead and make you feel self-conscious about it.
Right. I think he was asking because he was like, do you need more Novocaine? And it's like, fucking, I don't know. I don't think a numb gum is good enough for what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's numb, you're still feeling like a shit ton of pressure while that dude's yanking on your shit. So, you know,
you're gonna feel a little pressure.
Yeah, bullshit. Anyway, I'm looking forward to I don't know, putting some chili in a blender or something today to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, enjoy that.
What have you been up to, Breno?
I'm your boy's back at the gym.
Yeah.
Probably the 100th time in his life, but I don't know. This time feels a little bit different.
What makes it feel different?
Because my goals are different. Okay. I pretty much just kind of accepted the fact that, like, there's never really going to be that end result of being hot and then you're finished. It's just like hot people just go to the gym and they enjoy the gym process. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm trying.
Like, some of those people are fucking miserable. Don't get it twisted on that either.
Oh, no. Of course. But I think the only people who are gym hot are the people who love going to the gym every day and doing the thing. So I'm trying to kind of focus on the process, focus on how it makes me feel, how I feel day per day. And I'm not worried so much about like the pounds lost or the, the actual aesthetic result. I'm just focusing on how I feel. And I think, you know, it's like taking your dog for a walk. Like, you're a person, you got to get active once in a while, and you know, it boosts your mood a lot. So that's it. I think I'm gonna be a gym douche who just goes every day and wastes hours a day at the gym.
Well, that's a good thing to do. You know, it helps melt the stress or whatever the fuck. I can't even like pretend that this is a thing that's fun to do. But what I can recommend is I kind of have recommitted to working out a little bit more over the last few months. And what's helped me do that is this time around, I'm doing it with a fucking app, which makes me like accountable for how much I'm actually like lifting. And then it's got like progression charts, and it, you know, gives you a rest timer, and it, you know, yells at you if you didn't go or if you didn't lift what you were supposed to lift that day. And it, you know, it's like giving yourself homework, I guess, but it really works for me. I don't know. I need something to be telling me like, don't bullshit this. You got to actually do the work. You made the trek to the gym. You're there already. Just get it done, you know?
Yeah, there was some sort of like Under Armour app that I was using that counted calories at least, but the shit's kind of for the birds. I think if if you're eating right, you know what's bad for you, you know what's not. It's like at this age, it seems really fucking silly to me to just count my macros and my calories and everything else.
And the people that do that, those people are fucking insane. I never want to be that kind of person.
Yeah, there's no way you're happy. It's like day per day, just like putting your fucking barley oats on a scale.
I've done that before too. And
stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, years ago, like when I was first like really serious about this stuff, and I was in pretty good shape and all that, but it sucked. It sucked a lot, and I was hurting myself constantly because I wasn't eating enough. So anyway, yeah, the app I got that I've been using lately is called Strong.
Strong. Wow. Is it spelt wrong?
No.
For like Silicon Valley
reasons?
It'd
be so much cooler if it was, though.
We'll have to figure out how to spell strong wrong.
So what are you listening to when you're getting your gym on?
So it's like I love how long we it's like playing volleyball, how long we can go without discussing metal. But I don't actually listen to metal. What does the trick for me is there's this video game that I really got into called Death Stranding.
The Hideo Kojima game.
Yeah, the Hideo Kojima game. That was it was like a really well made bad game. It was so interesting because I really like look back fondly on the experience, but I would never play it again. It was just so much grind. It was so difficult in ways it didn't have to be, but the soundtrack was really cool. It was like kind of like this hip ambient sort of indie soundtrack, mostly by the band Low Roar. So honest to God, it's like to get myself in the mindset of like jogging through my shitty town, just like Norman Reedus did on my TV for 60 hours. I put on some Low Roar and I walked to their run to the gym.
That's pretty fitting. Like you're like in the post-apocalyptic setting, mind space, like gotta make sure I don't fall down and break my packages of like, I don't know, plates or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Or my like packages of whey protein and creatine and gym towels and things.
I like it.
Yeah, it's the trick. If you're a nerd and you played a bad video game, that's the way to go.
I really think that metalheads get it wrong when it comes to listening to metal for exercise. I think that metal has its place in your workout. I think that they're like, if you're doing heavy lifts, you want to sync up a song that really gets you over the top, you know, just like it's loud, it gets you going. But if you're doing something that takes a long ass time, you can't hit those highs all the time. Like if you're jogging, I don't want to listen to Cannibal Corpse for an hour.
no, because you're going to get pumped up and you're going to wear yourself out.
Exactly.
8 or 9 minutes.
You got to pace yourself with that shit. So I don't know. Something with the consistent tempos really helps too. Something kind of maybe a little bit more downbeat.
For sure. So that's kind of where I found it. And it's not just Low Roar. There's like a bunch of music on the soundtrack and I just kind of let it go. But it's getting weird because it's like once I just hit play on the soundtrack and I don't shuffle it and like the same songs come on at like the same buildings I pass. And I probably got to mix it up eventually. Well, while it's not surprising that I'm trying to lose weight again, what was surprising to me is just how many metal fans in my circle love My Chemical Romance and were extremely fucking pissed off about the fact that they sold out every ticket imaginable for their upcoming tour in like, I think it was 7 hours. They were all gone for exuberant prices.
Christ. It's kind of funny. Unexpected, I guess, but it is kind of funny. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, they like pretty much all the general admission tickets were like people were waiting in the queue for an hour, a couple hours, and still didn't get tickets.
Man, I saw My Chemical Romance back in the day at Warped Tour, and it was my big takeaway from it was like several kids got seriously hurt when they got trampled by like how fucking amped this crowd of teenagers was, and that's and the singer went on stage shirtless wearing a bulletproof vest.
I'm sure that was for show.
It was, of course. I don't know,
possibly.
What did I miss in the 15 years since then that all the metalheads went crazy for MCR?
I remember Gerard Way was like the most recent interview I saw of him, he was like selling some kind of comic book, or he was promoting that new Netflix show that he had written for, where it was kind of like X-Men, but not.
Huh.
Remember the one I'm talking about? There was like the chimpanzee professor.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Gerard Way wrote that show. There was a show about like, you know, superhumans in an academy.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure academy was in the word.
Okay. But anyway, there's a chimpanzee professor, right?
Something like that. Anyway, he was looking pretty like pudgy and old in that interview. So I wonder if he like got in really good shape for this show, for these upcoming shows.
I mean, I feel like I could have this backwards, but I thought maybe he was in his 30s during their heyday. I thought he was a little bit older.
You might be right. I don't know. So, I have no idea. Some of these guys, they have that kind of baby face where they can, you know, they can attract any number of teenage girls regardless of age.
So, is it Gerard Butler? Is that the name?
Did I say Gerard Way?
Which one is it?
Well, it's not Butler because that's the guy in Black Sabbath.
Oh, no, it's Geezer Butler's in Black Sabbath.
Oh, who's Gerard Butler?
Who the fuck is Gerard Butler?
I think he's the guy from 300.
Oh, no shit, it is the guy from 300.
Anyway, yeah, no, Gerard Way. Oh my god, you type in, it's like the first thing. It's comic book shopping with My Chemical Romance's Gerard. And there's it's
Umbrella Academy is what you're talking
Umbrella about. Academy, that was it.
Anyway, Gerard Way is 42 years old, so that checks out. I mean, you're not going to be hot forever.
Yeah, he put on some poundage. And I mean, god knows I'm not anyone to rip on anyone for that, but I always think it's funny what the wheels of time do to anybody who's out of the public eye for.
If you want a comparison here, Google happily, you know, auto fills this in for me underneath. Apparently, Billy Joe Armstrong is 47. so, I mean, like.
And he was in way before.
Yeah, man. Their heyday, like 1993 or 4. So. That's pretty wild. Anyway, good for...
Fuck it. You and I should start an emo band.
Shit, we might as well, man. I'll get up on stage looking like emo dad. I don't give a fuck.
Who cares? Who cares? It's funny because Gerard Way, I guess that extra bit of baby fat on the face really sold the guy liner, and it went in his 30s. And, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong tried it, and it didn't quite work as well.
I love all this personal information that Google is giving me for reasons that I guess they... He says that his wife is named Lynn/Z. He has a child named Bandit Lee Wei. This is too much information. I don't need all of this information, Google.
I should know this about a man just from a couple words typed on the internet. That's not really fair to him. A lot of money to be made making very popular emo music. And I don't give a fuck about, like, these indie rock dudes who tell me, like, MCR is not emo. It's like, shut the fuck up. They completely just overtook that term by extreme popularity. And it's like, if they're not emo, what really was?
Yeah, that's fun. If you want to get into circles of just the most basement-dwelling fucking nerds, they're like, well, actually, Rites of Spring was the first emo band, and it was, you know, it was from there that it split it off into different crowds involving Fugazi and eventually to Christy Front Drive. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Nobody cares, man. This is the most single conversation I've ever had in my life.
If it doesn't sound like Sunny Day Real Estate, it's not even emo at all.
And actually, like, Latter-day Sunny Day Real Estate really abandoned the emo tag and became more of a modern rock sound. It's like, ah, I'm a virgin again.
My dick is immediately dry just hearing you talk.
Dry dick, have an ass genre.
Desert dick. That's what they should rename it. Like, you should just take the emo name away and call it Desert Dick.
I love it. I love it. So yeah, I've seen a bit of this though. I've been having a shit ton of homework lately, so I haven't had as much time to spend online with my pals. But it looks like I did see a couple people mad that they either could or that they did get tickets, but it was a fight. Did you try to get tickets?
No, I'm more into, like, your bar shows, your intimate kind of. I don't fucking want to go to a show that big with that many people screaming in my face.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole fucking thing, man. Like, it's you spend a shit ton of money on tickets, including just all of these nebulous surcharges that whatever ticket conglomerate wants to add on there. Doesn't even factor in the $30 for parking.
Right. And plus, then, if you know, Death Metal Underground heard me talking about wanting to go see My Chemical Romance live, that would be a whole article in and of itself.
I haven't checked in on those guys in a long time, man.
You don't have to.
You're right.
Yeah, I hear you typing, and you can...
No.
No. We got some more fun things to talk about this episode.
Yeah.
So Metal Sucks, they had tasked some poor young man to collect a list of 200 famous metal and hard rock musicians, and they are ranked by net worth.
Was this, and I gotta ask before we even get into this, is this based on the same kind of bullshit research I would do where you're like typing in celebrity net worth finder or whatever the fuck?
I think so.
Okay. So, I don't think that shit is accurate in the least bit, but I'm game to go ahead and play along with this.
Right. But it's like an estimate, you know? I mean, who knows what the fuck my net worth is? Think about any given bit of debt that I'm in. I think I have like $2,000 in credit card debt. So my net worth is negative $2,000.
Yeah, my net worth, I think right now, is somewhere in the neighborhood of negative $200,000.
Yeah.
And if we include like upcoming student loans, hey, forget about it.
Oh, right. Because you got your mortgage and then you're going to have your student loans.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at about like $500,000 in the drain.
Yeah, pretty much.
For the rest of your life. Yeah. Good for you, buddy.
We got nothing, so okay. But let's look at some people that have something.
Yeah, let's forget the have-nots. We're here about the haves, you know. So we're not going to go over everybody in the list, obviously. I'm just going to kind of scroll through and go through some highlights. We'll kick off like maybe the top 10 to 15 as far as people who have the most money, because that's the most fun, right?
So you're starting from the top here, right?
Very tippity top.
Can I hazard a guess who's number one?
Go ahead.
I would guess it's probably Ozzy.
No.
No?
It's not.
Okay.
It's crazy. Number one, coming in at $350 million, and number one is a tie. $350 million. The very first picture is our favorite pouty-faced 5'3" Polish and Metallica. It's Lars Ulrich.
Lars Ulrich, 350 mil.
350 mil.
That's, man, that's a lot of Basquiat paintings.
Yeah, quite a few. That.
So is he tied up with James?
Nope.
Oh, fuck, James messed up.
Yeah, James keeps having to get back into rehab, so he's down to $300 million.
Ooh,
just a peasly, measly $300 million.
All those drunken trips to Russia to kill bears really takes a cut, man.
Do you want to wager a guess who is tied at the top with Lars?
Man, is it Dave Mustaine?
If you could believe it, no. But I mean, okay, think hard. Who is like an enormous douchebag in the hard rock scene who's obsessed with money and has been for decades?
Fuck. Man, is it one of the assholes from Kiss?
Yes.
Is it Gene Simmons?
Ding, ding, ding. What do we Nailed have for him, Johnny? Yeah, of course, it's Gene Simmons. That fucking... I'm not saying anything. Anyway, James Hetfield is number three. So we can keep going down the list.
It's just great to me, though, because, I mean, Gene Simmons has spent his entire life unapologetically being all about that paper.
Right.
And he's tied up with Lars, who I'm sure he's a savvy businessman in his own right, because he's got to do something rather than, you know, practicing drums. He's not doing that.
Right. Yes.
But he hasn't made his whole fucking persona. I got to get that money.
True. But at the same time, you have that whole Napster controversy in the 90s.
That's true. That is true. Nobody was, you know, I hope nobody was indicted for downloading cold gin.
I hope not either, man. But no, I think that's fair. I don't think Lars has been so much in the public eye trying to get that cheddar as Gene Simmons. Like, Gene has loudly and proudly many times said that music is a business. I'm not here to make, you know, I'm here to make only hits. I'm here to merchandise. Like, that's what Kiss is. That's what Kiss always has been. Metallica, I mean, look, these are the guys that wrote, like, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and they have 350 fucking million in the bank.
I'm not mad at Metallica per se for doing so well. I think it, you know, the work speaks for themselves up to a certain point. That Kiss does not come anywhere close of touching.
Right, like quality of music. I'm glad that Kiss didn't get the top echelon here. Same. Even though they did, it's a tie. But
it's a tie. But at the same time. Fuck you.
but you're tied with like quality metal shredders from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. All
That's
right.
The takeaway here. Next up, we got Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters at $280 million.
It seems like a stretch to put him in in this list. But I guess that shouldn't be surprising. That dude has sold a lot of records in his day.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have thought the Foo Fighters would have made a bit more commercially acceptable car commercial music, whereas Metallica maybe not so much.
Well, I mean, Dave was also part of Nirvana, which if he's getting residuals on that shit, which I assume he is.
Yeah.
You know, every time, you know, every 6 seconds when Smells Like Teen Spirit plays on your local modern rock radio station, he gets a few dollars.
So you jumped the gun here, but Ozzy Osbourne's coming in underneath Dave Grohl at $220 million.
It seems like there's a fairly sharp cutoff between the top two and then number four, to the tune of about $150 million.
What was that? Was no, that Ozzy has 220.
220, okay. So 130 mil. Yeah, man. Still a considerable amount, a formidable amount of paper, I would say.
I'm sure it's because he has to split it with Sharon. So there's really, like, you know,
put an asterisk on that one.
Right. There's really $2 billion in the Osborne bank, but, you know, just for Ozzy by himself in his pockets, he probably gets to keep 220.
Yeah. Sharon is the corked baseball bat of his rankings.
Then real quick, we got a couple boys from Queen, Brian May, 210 million, Roger Taylor, 200 million. Then we got Kirk Hammett at 200 million. Then we have Axl Rose at 200 million.
Well, Axel's been, you know, I would have thought that Kirk would be further down. You know, I didn't think he got all the same checks that the big boys got in that band. But Axl Rose, I feel like his number would be higher if he hadn't invested $200 million in roast pig futures.
So, yeah, he'd probably be up at the top of the list, but, you know, bad investments. Well, I'm going to scroll down a bit, see if I can pick out some names from the list that stick out to me. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, $130 million, which is interesting that Lars just, like, is doubled up on that guy.
Lars didn't spend literally millions of dollars on cocaine. I mean, probably not anyway.
Fair.
Where Steven Tyler was fairly upfront with, like, all the money that they made on the first, like, 10 records they blew on drugs.
Right. And he was, but I mean, God, he was on American Idol collecting that paycheck and everything, and he's still coming up short.
He might have a few ex-wives as well.
Yeah. And a couple bastard children he needs to pay out for.
Yeah, Liv needs her Louboutins.
I couldn't think of the word illegitimate fast enough, so I just said bastard.
Whatever, it's the same.
Shit, cancel me. I don't care. Bruce Dickinson, $115 million.
It's, I mean, again, if he didn't spend all his money on fucking airplanes. That's, out of all the hobbies you could have, that's traditionally a more expensive one.
Yeah, most certainly. Eddie Van Halen, $100 million. Cool, $100 million. Slash is $90 million. What is, and Kid Rock has $80 million.
That's okay. This is unacceptable to me.
it's unacceptable that Kid Rock has $80.
I mean, he's probably started off with a trust fund of at least a mil. If you look at his family, you know, that's basically how he was able to fund his career. Incredibly wealthy family, so he could pretend to be a poor black man before pretending to be a poor white guy and a racist one at that.
All right, scrolling through. Next, we have Gerard Way. Nope. We have Gerard Butler. Nope. We have Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath, $70 million.
Not bad.
Not bad for a guy that, you know, is just like the quiet vegan with the goofy hair who plays bass in the background with, like, way too short of a instrument cable.
He's a vegan?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I got to update my rankings.
Yes, you do. Tommy Lee ties him at $70 million.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Also, it's funny that Tommy Lee is, you know, outranking the other Motley Crue boys.
Yeah. Trent Reznor at $70 million. Yeah. Oh, our boy Vince Neil has $50 million to his burrito budget. So good for him.
So I guess these numbers, they make me question, like, why somebody like Vince Neil or Axl Rose, for that matter, why do you keep doing this shit? Like, why can't you just quit, man?
Right. Like, why put your, like, if you're a big pudgy dude and you're older, fine. Just fucking hang out. You know, just go, like, have you ever seen the show Fuck That's Delicious with Action Bronson?
Yeah, I've actually, me and my lady have been watching that quite a bit lately.
It's a great show. I think Vince Neil and the rest of Motley Crue should just do that.
Instead of, like, going to the weed dispensaries that Action Bronson goes to, they're just right. Going to, like, the hookups to get cocaine.
Yeah, just coke, the coke dealers, yeah. In the background.
This is the finest organic cocaine in all of Peru.
It's like, fuck, that's baller. Adam Jones of Tool. $50 million.
Jesus.
It's guitarist. Not even the big ego himself, just, yeah, the guy playing guitar.
Is he in A Perfect Circle as well?
Was he? I don't remember.
I don't think he is, which leads me to an idea that I've had in my head is that the side project is a money pit.
Right. I skipped Maynard James Keenan, who makes $60 million.
Oh, fucking bastard.
I missed it. I will say that Maynard James Keenan, like for every one of these names, there's a little parentheses that says the bands that they're in. And Maynard James Keenan just says Tool. So I can't say for sure if Adam Jones is not in another band or something.
I mean, nobody gives a shit about what Pucifer.
Here comes our boy Jason Newsted with a cool 50 mil.
Jason Newsted did it right.
That's right. He just does whatever he wants now. Completely past Metallica. He just said, I have a lot of money in the bank. I don't need to deal with these assholes anymore.
Yeah, man. I played on the Black album. Who gives a shit?
Can you believe that Ice-T has $40 million and all these other guys are just all over the place with so much more money?
I can believe Ice-T has $40 million because of all the residuals from SVU. Not from like his music career, either as a solo artist or with Body Count.
I don't Cop think, Killer, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any of that shit made a ton of money. Like in the OG gangster rap days, I don't think he was selling like a shit ton of units. But I believe that, you know, SVU being on seven channels every single day probably made him that money.
Well, I guess my surprise is not that he has $40 million, which is, you know, enough money to fix all of my problems, you know, 20 lifetimes over. What I'm surprised about is that you got a guy like Lars who has 350 and then you have Ice-T who has 40 when I feel like Ice-T is just so much more of a public icon.
So I feel like I got to look up like the net worth of Benson and Stabler and like try to figure out if they're making equal paychecks.
Mariska Hargitay.
That's the fucking name. Mariska Hargitay.
Christopher Maloney.
Let's see. Mariska is she's worth 50 mil.
Ooh.
And what is the other guy's name?
Christopher Maloney. I think it's M-E-L-O-N-I. The only reason I know this is because I would like sing the actors' names along to the SVU opening.
Maloney, despite being the chef in Wet Hot American Summer, is only worth 30 mil.
Oh, too bad. Here is a very interesting name that I cannot wait to point out. I am just chomping at the bit to point this one out to all of you so that you can shut the fuck up about him ever performing at Coachella and being a hypocrite in any way. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is worth $30
million. $30 million.
That's not 1 million. That's not 2 million. That's not even 3 million. That's 30 fucking entire million dollars in his account somewhere.
Damn. I don't want to be an amateur Marxist here, but I feel like we might have class interests that are at stake.
Right. Possibly, maybe, kind of. And just, maybe they will use their platform at Coachella to speak against the outright irresponsibilities of the upper class. Shut the fuck up, okay? You've been had. If you bought a Rage Against the Machine album and related to it, you were had. If you saw his fucking communist flag on his guitar, you've been had. Shut up.
Guilty. Okay. I got had, but I'm woke now, buddy.
Buddy, it's we all got had. We all, you know, saw the music video when we were 13 and we're like, hell yeah, fuck the cops. Like, of course.
Yeah, man. $30 million is a lot of money with which you could buy unregistered weapons with which to arm the homeless.
Yeah, you actually could arm all of the homeless with $30 million.
Yeah, don't just talk about it, be about it.
Or fucking maybe feed them, cunt.
That would be good too. I think it's worth noting, just as a quick aside, that motherfucker went to Harvard. Now, have you ever heard of a good person going to Harvard?
Not one.
Not a single one.
Not a single one, no. Not to hold us up any longer. Mike Patton, Faith No More. I thought it'd be less, but $25 million. I feel like that one big hit they had in the 90s is going to keep him up there.
Yeah, I don't think it's doing voiceovers and video games or whatever is making him all of that paper.
Probably not. Fred Durst, Ted Nugent, and Serge Tankian from System of a Down, they all have $20 million to their name.
That is a very funny collection of people to me.
They were just in a row together because they all make $20 million. There's a lot of people that are up at $20 million. Dude, M Shadows of Avenged Sevenfold, $20 million.
Jeez. Again, that was a trust fund, baby.
And then here comes underneath M Shadows, but still tied, but still underneath, our golden ginger boy, whom we love so much, and we're so happy that he's 100% cancer free. Dave Mustaine at $20 million.
Just imagine this list is making him fucking livid.
I'm sure he is not getting out of bed after this has been published for at least a while.
Someday somebody is going to make a really fucking great biopic about Dave Mustaine just animated in his every movement by spite. it's a perfect, it would be exactly like Amadeus. He's the Salieri.
I was reading this book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, and they were explaining pretty much the story of Dave Mustaine, but I was like, there's no way this guy is talking about Dave Mustaine. Like, how this guy was like kicked out of his band, sent on a bus ticket with nothing. It was, given a bus ticket home with nothing, and, you know, just went on to make millions of dollars and have millions of fans. And that man's name is Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. And then he goes on to explain how Dave Mustaine is not happy and never will be happy because his line for success was defeating Metallica, which you're about $310 million short there, pal.
Eey.
Rough.
You know what? You did pretty good, buddy. And sometimes that you did the best you can. Sometimes you just have to be happy with that.
Right. You have more money than, all generations of my family combined will ever have. But, didn't quite make the cut, bud. Too bad.
Did you ever see Amadeus, by the way?
No.
It's pretty good. It won, I think it won Best Picture in whatever year it came out in.
Yeah, I know it's like a good movie worth watching. It's just, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm calling on, any filmmakers that listen to this show. Make that movie. Make Dave Mustaine the Salieri. This is important to me.
All right. We're not going to dwell too much up here, but who else we got? That's a big... Zach Wilde, $16 million. And he's probably not making it from selling guitars because yeesh.
Yeah, well, if you sell one guitar, one Zach Wilde signature guitar costs what, $10,000?
One signature Zach Wilde guitar from Wilde Audio costs approximately $16 million. So he only sold one.
Nice. It was a long shot bet, but buddy.
Let's see. We got Les Claypool, Primus, $15 million.
That's surprising to me. But
a lot of marijuana.
Good for him, man. This is the first one that I felt like, you know what? I think he earned that. He didn't compromise in any way along the way. I think he's probably, I don't want to personify people that I'll never meet, but he seems like a good dude.
Samurai of Slayer has $14 million.
Yeah, that's why they have to keep doing this bullshit, right?
Right, because they're going to take half of that in taxes next year, let me tell you.
Bernie gonna get that ass. It's great. Jordan's not on this episode, so I can be unapologetic and being like, Bernie gonna win.
That's right. Let's take it down. Oh, my goodness. Living with his mom and dad, we have Joey DeMaio at $10 million.
Jesus. How?
Like, imagine if you have $10 million and you live with your parents.
I can't imagine that there's that much cheddar to be extracted from playing in front of the same German audience for 30 years.
Well, okay, you got 10 million Germans in the audience. Tickets are $1 each.
Do the math.
You do the math. Any cue. Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme has $10 million. Why?
You write one hit song, and that's good for $10 million. I think that's the takeaway.
Whew. Must live a thrifty lifestyle.
Just to be with you. What a terrible song. Anyway.
We discussed the we discussed the net worth of the members of Slipknot previously, and the internet was so mad at me it cut out during that podcast. But just as a reminder, Sean Crahan, also known as Clown, $10 million.
I feel like I'm owned by hearing that.
Right. Like he, let's talk about what he really does. He puts on a clown suit, you know, bangs on a trash can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Doug Funny from Nickelodeon.
Banging on a trash can.
Strumming on a street light.
I want to hear somebody just take video of Clown performing and put that over it.
I will make it so. I will make your dreams come true. D. Snyder, Twisted Sister, $10 million.
Damn, he's been working awful hard. I'm not sure doing what exactly, but he's been working awful hard to get that number.
Let's go down the... Okay, we got Josh Homme at $10 million from Queens of the Stone Age.
Huh.
Which is like, you know, you're making more money than D. Snyder or just as much? Wild. Zoltan Bathory from Five Finger Death Punch, $9 million. Beating out Kerry King at $8
million. that's extremely funny.
Yeah. All right, let's get more towards the bottom, because I think that's a bit more fun to realize, like, hey, you got some people a bit more in the underground that are making too much money. Phil Anselmo, Reps Pantera, I had $6 million, buddy.
Damn, he fucked up.
White power. $6 million, Phil Anselmo.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you know who also has $6 million? Angela Gossow from ex-Arch Enemy. She doesn't even sing in him anymore. She has just as much money as Phil Anselmo.
Jesus Christ. What did Phil do with his money? That's a joke. I know what he did with that money.
Heroin's a hell of a drug, and so is you know, New Orleans real estate.
It's prime real estate swampland, brother.
Swampland.
Just spent every bit of his Pantera residuals buying shit from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Mikhail Ackerfeld from Opeth, same thing, $6 million.
I don't know. I can't even like judge. Money makes no sense. I can't tell if any of these things make sense or if they don't.
Yeah, I don't know if these, for all you know, some of these guys could just like have invest major money in something and, you know, they just lost big, but they're still rich.
Yeah, like Angela Gossow, like, just, you know, she has mutual funds or whatever, whereas, I don't know, Phil Anselmo invested in Theranos.
Someone else who also invested in Theranos, I bet, is Scott Ian, also $6 million from Anthrax.
Damn, that motherfucker is on VH1 every day. They're cutting him checks for $7.
Ron Bumblefoot Thal from fucking the guy who replaced Slash and Guns N' Roses for all those shows nobody cared about, $5 million.
Bumblefoot.
Bumblefoot. That fucking guy.
Good for Bumblefoot, man.
Also, the best boy, one of my favorite things to do is use avatars of people drawing him. George Corpse Grinder Fisher, $5 million.
Good for him, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He is like the muse to many an online artist and therefore many an avatar if I'm feeling like not showing my face online. Dude. He's my guy to go to.
That's kind of wild to me that, you know, Cannibal Corpse, and probably, you know, I don't know if you can argue that they're the biggest of the, well, they weren't Floridian, they were Buffalo death metal, but that strain of death metal from the 80s made just almost as much money as Slayer. That's kind of wild, right?
That's totally wild. Like, Cannibal Corpse is just that fucking popular. Like, and they had the most obscene, horrible lyrics. They had the most obscene, horrible album art. They were totally like way, way underground music with no commercial appeal whatsoever. And they're millionaires.
That rules. And, rules. And I don't think at any point they got into bed with like Jägermeister sponsorship.
No. No, and they're like right up there with Slayer members as far as, you know, making money. Do you know who else has $5 million? And I want to just like, I don't know, tie a noose if I could afford one from hearing this. Tim Ripper Owens.
Gee, no, no, no. Okay, this is where I'm drawing the line and saying that this list is horseshit.
There's no fucking way.
There is no fucking way. That dude's chicken joint in Ohio got shut down after like 6 months. He couldn't pay those bills.
Because he couldn't pay the rent or
yeah.
something. $5 million they say this guy has. How?
Nah, this is made up. This is alchemy. This is just, sure, yeah. He had a movie made about him. That's got to be worth $5 million, right?
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe he's getting some sort of residuals for that.
I don't know, man. I watched a movie about the inspiration behind Rocky.
Yeah.
Chuck Wepner was the guy that had a fight with Muhammad Ali. Rocky was made without any input from him. He got no money for it, whatever, and like, you know, died penniless. Pretty much. He might still be alive. I might have that fucked up. But that dude has no cheddar. Count me on that. No cheddar.
For sure. No clout, no cheddar. You know, no, there's no fucking bronze statue of him in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, Jesus Christ.
I love the idea of just in the middle of the town hall in fucking Columbus, Ohio, there being a statue of Tim Ripper Owens.
Just get his like tufty little patch of hair left on his bald head just right.
Let's start a GoFundMe to get that built.
Can you fucking believe that Otep Shamaya from Otep has $4 million?
I believe that she had it before the band, personally.
Maybe
that would make more sense to me. Just yeah. In terms of insane libs, like that's a go-to example.
Benjamin Birdley from Breaking Benjamin has $4 million. Breaking Benjamin's a giant band.
I didn't even realize until now that Breaking Benjamin was based off a band member. it was one of those 90s names. It doesn't mean fucking anything. No, it's about me, Benjamin.
it's my band. I'm Benjamin.
I'm Benjamin.
This is, this is Breaking in the Benjamins.
What was it? Fucking Jimmy World. I think one of the guys in the band is just Jimmy as well.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyway, I got nothing to say about Breaking Benjamin other than their continued popularity from the dregs of the 90s is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, they were like, they're pretty much musically on the same par as like Puddle of Mud.
I mean, if you played me a Chevelle song and then a Breaking Benjamin song, gun to my head, I could not tell you which one is which.
Holy smokes! Let's keep going. we got Ronnie Radke, our best boy in Falling in Reverse, $4 million.
Well, that's because he doesn't buy those Lambos. He just rents them for the video shoots.
Right. I mean, that could be his. Guy's a millionaire. I don't think I was aware of that. I thought he was maybe like, you know, making a cool six figures. But I feel like if you go up to like a person's face on the street and say, who's Falling in Reverse? They're like, what? Huh?
I don't know. It depends on that person's face. Is it a 16-year-old with a face tattoo? They know who it is.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Fair enough. Jesse Hughes from Eagles of Death Metal, $3 million.
Weird.
They probably had a big boost in fame after they almost had their show blown up and had their fucking poor merch guy get killed.
Shit, I forgot about that.
Whole thing in France, yeah.
Does he have another band, or is it just Eagles of Death? Because I don't know, man.
Jesse Hughes, Eagles of Death Metal. That's what comes up on Wikipedia. That's it.
All right. Sure.
Fair enough. Danny Warsnop asking Alexandria $2 million.
All right. All right. Now I'm just mad.
Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, the girl in the band, the big, big, big Hailstorm with all the fucking hits, $2 million. That's it.
Yeah, the real diminishing returns is we turned over into the 2000s, huh?
Pretty much. I think that's the major shift here is that all these guys who are like the biggest guys in hard rock right now are, you know, they don't have these fucking insane millions that these other people have. Still way more money than anybody really needs on earth, but I don't know, fuck. Wow, Chris Adler and Mark Morton from Lamb of God are both worth $2 million.
And damn, man, like Jordan and I have been going off on this for a while. But like, once the big bands finally retire, what you have to replace them is Lamb of God. And that's just like, you know, the numbers say it right there. Like, the music industry is fucked. Like, these dudes don't make the cheddar of the big boys, and, you know, they never will. This whole thing is in shambles.
Yeah. I mean, you can get rich making music, apparently, but it has to be like insane mega hit status to even just make a living.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man.
Like, there's no in between. You're like, you're not going to make $50,000 a year making music.
You listening to this will never make above minimum wage making music. It's just never going to happen, because you're a weirdo, right? And you write weird music for your weird friends. And what you need to do,
no offense,
is apparently like number one, buy beats from, I don't know, some Danish guy for like $30 and record in your closet like Lil Nas X did with Old Town Road.
What you need to do is make some like fucking stupid old slave style music, stomp clap fucking nonsense. and then like a whiskey commercial will use it. And then there's your millions right there.
Yeah, man. What is the band? What is one of the bands that did that?
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm going down.
Been working in the field, picking cotton all day long.
Ain't no rest for the wicked.
Like Dirk Chesington III. Of the band Mammy.
John White Caucasian. And the Night Sweats.
Oh my god. Yeah, those guys have it figured out.
Right. That's how you gotta make it big these days. Oh boy, we're getting to the bottom here. The biddity bottom. Randy Blythe, Lamb of God, also 2 million. Good. Ollie Sykes from Bring Me Through Iceland. He's a millionaire. $2 million.
I feel like as much as I hear about that guy, he would do better, but I think that speaks to the state of modern rock and roll that it's nah, bro, there's no money here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He's probably like the biggest guy in like metal music that I can think of, like as far as just like top tier echelon popularity in terms of modern day metal music. I would say Bring Me the Horizon is probably way up there. They don't really make metal anymore, but that's probably why they're popular.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, they got that crossover effect, you know, into the Hot Topic market or whatever, and it's just, you know, it's not the heyday no more.
Do you know who Wes Scantlin is?
Yeah, from Puddle of Mud.
That fucking leads with his teeth. Fucking open mouth breathing face, leading with the jawline, fucking blonde guy from Puddle of Mud.
She fucking hates me.
But dude, remember how big that band was back in the early 2000s?
Yeah, man. I remember distinctly hearing She Fucking Hates Me constantly, and the shitbag assholes
la, 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 la.
Were like, oh man, this is the jam. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Can't take it out of here. Just shove it in my fish.
Blurry, yeah, that was a huge hit.
Enormous hit. Like, bigger rock hit. I mean, all of that said, I'm leading up to something. $500,000. That's his net worth. That's it.
I think that guy has had a lot of problems due to mental instability over the last decade or so.
I've heard.
So I'd say even that is probably a gross exaggeration. I think that guy... He's playing, you know, club shows to a few dozen people because there's no cash left in the bank.
Yeah, net worth is sort of one of those magic math alchemies that just doesn't really add up to reality, and I understand that. I think it's easy that he could make $500,000 if he hustled and got out of whatever debt he's in, but I'm sure that guy is in debt.
Just as an embarrassing aside here, if we can do one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember when Blurry came out, and I went to I must have been in junior high, I think, and I went to ultimateguitararchive.net to find the tab for that intro. The it's the harmonic, like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like the super soft intro, I guess. That falls.
Yeah. Yes.
I could never play that. It was fucking impossible to play. And to this day, I don't even know if the band plays that or if it's sampled.
Yeah, it's dude, those little harmonics are tough. You gotta like, not to get gear nerd on here, but it's like, yeah, you gotta like, a molecule of your skin has to touch the guitar string at just the right timing. It's just, I can't, if I ever do it, it's by accident. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, Jordan's not on this one. We can talk about guitar stuff.
He's not just silently boiling in the background.
Nobody cares.
I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, that shit's tough. It's not like something you would think a puddle of mud guitars. Maybe it was one of the like the less handsome guys in the background that I can't remember. Right? Maybe he was able to do it. Maybe he was like a fucking Berkeley graduate for all we know. You know?
I don't know. I just remember buying the guitar magazines back in the day and getting completely disillusioned with some of these assholes. Like, I remember one of the guitarists from Linkin Park and one of the guys from fucking shit, man. I don't know. I can't remember those bands. But, you know, really big 90s rock bands that were saying basically in the pages of Guitar World, like, we have to do this in the studio. We can't replicate it live. It has to be, like, sampled in. And I was being like, this is bullshit. Fuck you.
Yeah. You're not artists. This is not real. My whole world is crashing down.
Meanwhile, I'm just playing the intro to Enter Sandman over and over again.
Right. And not well either.
Yeah,
right?
Poorly. It's extremely just, poorly.
Damn it. Fuck.
Yeah, it's trying every day to play the intro to Walk and failing.
Yeah, but it's like once you nail the intro of a song, you can go around and like people be like, oh, what songs can you play? And you can be like, Enter Sandman. No big deal.
Yeah, I don't think I ever learned to play a whole song when I was like a teenager.
You get to like the part of the tabs where the solo comes up and you just go, nope, skip right on to the rest of the
riff. I got what I needed. I'm good.
Yeah, we're good. I'm more of a riff. I'm more of a feeling guy.
Yeah. Just this conversation reveals so much about why I never had any success with anything.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm a huge quitter.
I'm more of a power chords, reverb kind of guy.
I need more pedals. More pedals.
Less practice, more pedals.
Exactly.
Put that on a t-shirt. That'll sell. Wes Scanlon, yeah, $500,000. And we're going to go through. This is the actual bottom of the list. The last millionaire on the list, I should point out, is Ace Frehley of X-Kiss, $1 million.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the brokest millionaire on the list.
Man, Gene really fucked that guy.
Really, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't kick $1 million out of my bank account, but to know that the guy I was in a band with, you know, back in the day was making 350 of it, that'd be a kick in the ass for sure. Kick in the cock.
I mean, like, the only explanation for that has to be that Gene screwed him on all of his contracts.
That's what came out recently.
Yeah.
Maybe like last year there was an article about it. Ace Frehley was totally fucked on all that.
And what does Gene Simmons need this money for anyway? Like what does anybody need $350 million for? We're taking all this shit. We're taking it, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if we are going to guillotine artists, I think Gene Simmons is the first and only one to go.
Oh, he's the poster child for the guillotine.
Just him alone. That's it.
We're going to do two swipes. The first with that disgusting tongue and then the rest of the head.
Yeah, Tracy Guns, L.A. Guns, $500,000.
That's got to hurt. That's got to hurt a lot.
Jamie Josta of Hatebreed, $400,000.
Damn, dude. No wonder he's fucking hustling on Twitter every day.
Glenn Benton from Deicide, $400,000.
That's surprising. That's pretty surprising, man.
And at the very, very absolute bottom of our 200 strong list, Scott Stapp of Creed, $400,000.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. I think I made a promise to the heavens when I was like 15 that I would defeat Scott Stapp
in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, right. I didn't have to. He went and done it himself.
Damn, man. I've probably told this story before. When I was 13, my best buddy, he was a big Creed fan. So for his birthday, his parents got him tickets to see Creed for him and a couple of his friends, me included. I'm on the record. I've always thought Creed was corny even then, but, you know, I wasn't going to pass up an opportunity to leave my shithole town to go see a big city concert.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this motherfucker was sold out. It was a stadium, like, or wasn't the same. It was a Coliseum. At the time, it was the Coca-Cola Starplex. People were losing their shit for the Creed. And it's wild to think, like, it's really gone that downhill for the fella.
We had that whole thing come out a couple of years ago where he was like in a Holiday Inn on like a webcam asking for money.
Oh, fuck.
Saying that like the government was after him. The IRS had frozen all his accounts.
Yeah. That's it's not good, man. Something happened to those 90s hard rock guys. They're not okay. Check up on them.
Yeah, everybody call them. Let me go through real quick and just we'll go through some names that I kind of went over that I think are also interesting. John Myung from Dream Theater, $8 million. Who's this Dream Theater?
Well,
they have so many fans, but I've never met one.
I've met a couple.
Jeez, yeah. Gary Holt, our guy from Slayer with his Kill the Kardashian shirt, $8 million in his fucking bank account. He can fuck right off.
That's funny to me that he's doing better than Carrie.
he is, actually, yeah. Oh, no, he's doing the same. Carrie King and him both, $8 million.
Fair.
Who also has $8 million is Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit.
Good for him, buddy.
apparently, Zoltan Bathory is the richest member of Five Finger Death Punch. Ivan Moody has $7 million.
I think Zoltan's the only one that is mostly straight edge-ish.
No, that must be it. He's just on his phone while the rest of them are just getting high on blow.
Yeah, I know this from reading that stupid book.
Adam Dutkowitz from Killswitch Engage, $8 million.
Damn, dude.
Adam D. No shit.
Huh.
Must have been the fucking residuals from Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merchandise your shit.
And that's it. I think we'll move on. But yeah, there you go. A lot of money to be made in metal, or at least there used to be.
Y'all should reconsider things. If you don't have family in the industry or... well, no, that's it. If you don't have family money or connections in the industry, just fucking drop out, man.
Yeah, if you aren't Gene Simmons or Eddie Van Halen's son, don't bother.
Yep, that's my takeaway, buddy. That and we gotta take all this money.
Yeah, I don't know how though. I guess just taxation.
Yeah,
severe taxes. But like, I think Gene Simmons, with his net worth of $350 million, I think a fair tax for him would be $351 million.
Yeah. The penalty there is for making me deal with your band for my entire life.
Right. Like, there's a $1 million in just punitive damages for being Gene Simmons.
I know that we've been fucking petty and joking all this episode, but it is worth noting that this list is just... This is paltry bullshit compared to, you know, any number of insanely evil executives that we'll never know the names of.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure the guy who might run Warner Brothers Records, like, Jesus Christ, forget it. And, I mean, as far as musicians go, you do have billionaires in the industry like Jay-Z and whatever Puff Daddy's calling himself these days.
Yeah, because those guys own the means of distribution for... their respective networks, you know?
Yeah. They actually got smart and they're like, I'm going to use my clout to actually get in business for myself.
Yeah. We're in, you know, you compare, Gene Simmons to probably some mid-level VP at like fucking Halliburton or Raytheon that's made their entire bank from, you know, murdering brown people. And they probably have a way bigger chunk of change. So
fair, valid.
It is fun and easy to take out our ire on these wealthy musicians. There's bigger game to hunt, boys. Yeah, but we are taking all of Gene Simmons' money.
Right. And you know, for what I said, I'm very happy Dave Mustaine is better. Like, you know, shout out to him and getting through it. But it also helps the fact that he's like a 40 millionaire. So, yeah, I'm sure that helps with your cancer treatment, whereas any of us who were to get cancer would not be so easily off and would look at debt for the rest of our life.
Yeah, we would probably rely on a GoFundMe that would not cover even one night in the hospital.
Right. And like I had a buddy who had testicular cancer a couple years ago, like stage three, major, like he had this GoFundMe set up and he probably got like $5,000 from it. And he was just so happy about that. Like he was crying. He was so glad that like he had this much money. And I mean, dude, this guy's going to be in debt for, I don't know, like a decade for all the time he lost at work and all the treatment he had to go through. And it's just like constant money out of the hole there. It's fucking awful.
And this happens every fucking day to so many people, and it's insane. And I think I had enough of it, man. I don't think this is a great way to live.
No, not at all. But shit, what are you gonna do? I'm not gonna use Dave Mustaine's sickness as an excuse to berate him. It's like, yeah, it must have been nice with $40 million. Like, of course it's awful no matter who it happens to, but
yeah, but he does have the means to take care of it where our friends and family probably don't. Right. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't think Mustaine's my enemy here or anything like that. He's worked his entire life you know, making music, hustling, being insanely petty. And I respect all those things.
Same. I've been bitter my whole life, and I have a lot of people to prove wrong who I'm probably going to prove right in the end. But I don't give a fuck. I'll still try.
But
whoever's eye I can spit in, I'll keep at it.
But my real enemy here is the board of fucking Aetna and Humana.
Yes. It's everybody's, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if you're a rich guy like Dave Mustaine, not only can you get your shit treated if you're diagnosed with as much, but you can go to regular doctor checkups to find out about this sort of thing. Whereas my friend, the reason he was so fucking poorly off in the first place was because he probably had testicular cancer for like a very long time before he knew about it.
Yep. Yep. Well, all I gotta say is, maybe consider spending some time or money for the Bingo Sandy campaign, and that's probably my closing thought for this insanely weird episode we just did.
It's a good episode. It's the economics episode.
Yeah, we're economics pros.
Yeah, we should have some kind of some dollars as a header, some easy crop stock photo of some dollarinos. Some funny money meme, and then that's it. This is just the money episode.
I like it.
I think a net worth is a good draw for, you know, people who want to come listen. People are interested in this stuff. I'm sure this is like a popular article for Metal Sucks, too.
Oh, surely. And I'm glad that they made some intern do the yeoman's work of putting together insanely misleading figures.
I hope that I haven't checked the comments yet, but I hope somebody asked for like Axel's net worth.
I'm sure every comment is like, you know, some variation of Jew. At least the last time I checked the Metal Sucks comments, that's what it was.
Right. I mean, the first comment I see is just like, if this was an Axel story, I'm sure he'd be droning on about how these musicians need to pay their fair share and donate their entire net worth to charity. And
no, because charity is incredibly inefficient, bro. You need a centralized body to spend that money. You get way more effective results out of your spend.
Yeah, charity is horse shit. It's a tax write-off. Like, if you put your entire net worth into charity, the you know, kickbacks would probably keep you afloat anyway.
Yeah, what is the thing, like, Bill Gates has been giving away so much money to charity and yet his net worth continues to grow? Huh. I don't know, man. Seems kind of questionable.
I wonder if Tom Morello can give all his money away to arm the homeless.
I think he should. That's a direct action you can take. Probably not you know what? Let's just call the episode here.
Well, my closing thoughts are don't start a band unless you want to make music just like these guys. And even if you do make music just like these guys, make sure it's good. Make sure it's not bad. It's usually bad.
You'll never make a dime making music, so if you're going to do it for something you really like, and spend your time accordingly. If you need to afford things like sandwiches, you know, your cyber grind band probably won't do it.
Sounds good. maybe there's a way to make money off of Cybergrind, but it's sure not playing it.
Nope.
Might be in like recording it or distributing it. I don't know.
Owning,
I'll have to check my.
Yeah, owning the factory that makes t-shirts that you print your band name on.
Maybe I can start a PR management company, and I can tell Cybergrind bands to give me like $400 a month, and then I can just send out emails to my blog, my list of blogs, and I didn't play a note.
That is a fantastic way to make money. I can't stress this enough. All the money in music comes from taking advantage of artists.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's your closing thought for the week, buddies.
There it is. You all got to keep it metal, bros, and I'll do the same.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.